God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The events of this last week have brought many to sort of question to a loving and caring God that we worship. Lord, why was there such great devastation from the Hurricane Katrina? Why was there such loss of life, loss of property, loss of business? Could not the mighty hand of God stop the violent winds and rain from doing such great devastation? And the answer is yes, God could have. Now, I'm not going to claim to know what was in God's heart and mind for allowing this storm to occur. But I will admit, our texts for today do sort of shed a little bit of light in one essence on why. A lot of people are asking the question, why? And unfortunately, I'm going to sort of assume that they can sort of fall into two categories. One, because their hearts are now aching because they're looking at the loss of life and their tragedy that's going on down south, and we're saying, why? And then there are some who are just completely oblivious to what's going on down south and are saying, why are the gas prices so high? Well, hopefully I'm praying that most of us are in that first category. The loss of life, the devastation, should weigh down our hearts. And again, we have to ask the question, why? Well, whenever we are being challenged in any way, whenever our world is sort of changed in a discomforting way, whenever something happens that we don't like, you know, that's the first question, is why? I will admit my youngest daughter is sort of in that stage right now. I ask her to do something, what's the first word that comes out of her mouth? It's not no, I should be thankful for that. It's why. And so we're dealing with that. And trying to, one of the ways that we're dealing with that is by basically saying, you know, as a parent, we're going to ask you to do something, and we're not always going to have time to explain it. But you're just going to have to trust me. You're going to have to do it. Whether we choose to explain ourselves doesn't change the fact that you're going to have to do it. In one essence, the same thing is true with God. We worship an almighty, all-powerful God. If God allows something to happen, can you really stop God? You can ask why, but life still goes on. You may get an answer, you may not. Parent prerogative. Knowing that our parent is the eternal Father. Again, God hasn't revealed to me the why, so to speak, but has given us a little bit of a hint. Because as I'm working with my own children in that parenting role, God is working with us, His children. And are there some times where children sometimes lose privileges? Yes. Are there some times where things just don't go the child's way? The answer again is yes. But we have to still trust that the parent still loves the child, even in the midst of tragedy from a child's point of view. And please remember, from a child's point of view, tragedy may be, I didn't get ice cream for dessert. I got a piece of candy. Or tragedy might be something else. Likewise, for us adult children of God, we see the tragedy in the southeast, and we're asking why. And God is, in one essence, saying, be patient. Hang on to what I've given you. So let's take a look at what God has given to us in His Word. And it'll help us refocus ourselves the right direction. I'm actually going to use all three of our readings because there's a little bit of each one of those readings that has a very important play to what's happening in our lives today. First of all, you have our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a prophet of God. There to warn the people. Warn the people to repent, to return to a loving and caring God. He says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak to dissuade him from his ways. That wicked man will die for his sin, but I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Here God is very quickly telling Ezekiel he's going to be somewhat responsible for sharing the message. He's not responsible for whether the people change, but he is responsible for sharing the message. So it is with us. God gives that message of love, forgiveness, and reconciliation to us. And we are responsible for sharing that message. Likewise, as parents, they are responsible for training children. Children, you're responsible to listen to parents. That's the way it works. Likewise, in the midst of great tragedy in our world around us, especially in the events of these last few days, does not change our relationship with our Heavenly Father. He still loves us. He still forgives us. We may be asking the question, why? But the message is still the same. Now let's pick up to the second reading. In our second reading, we have Paul being telling the people in Rome that they need to listen to the authorities. But once you get past that, you have the summary of the law. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now let's balance the two. Picking up my parenting analogy here. As a parent, guess what? There are some times that discipline must take place. Sometimes that child may need to feel uncomfortable. That's part of that disciplining. And in the act of disciplining, parents should be doing this disciplining out of love. Unfortunately, parents will abuse their power. And sometimes the disciplining goes too far. And it then turns into abuse. And what's the defining line between abuse and proper discipline? Don't ask the child to define it. Because the child will define it by anything that makes them uncomfortable. That's abuse. You looked at me the wrong way. That's abuse. You're not giving me my ice cream. That's abuse. No, we have to go back to the parent and saying, are you doing this out of love? Not to fulfill your anger, but love. You want to correct. Likewise, God does the same thing for each and every one of us. We have to realize even in our own lives, we are disciplined by a loving, caring God. Not out of His vengeful anger, because His anger was already appeased. There was someone who bore the brunt of God's anger, and it's not you. This someone bore the brunt of your sins. This someone is Jesus the Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, He died to take away the anger God has because of our sin. But God still needs to correct us, to remind us what's more important. Henceforth, the discipline. Now, I will admit, discipline never feels good. How am I going to relate this to Katrina? I'm not going to sit there and say that God put this hurricane upon these people because of their sin. No, that's why Jesus the Christ went to the cross. But in the midst of this hurricane, cannot God still draw us closer to Him? To have us think for a moment, what's truly important? Is it the house? Is it the home? Is it the business? Is it the career? Or what's truly important? What is our highest priority? Because in seeing this great loss and devastation, it should pause us, first of all, to sit there and say, thank you, Lord. I wasn't in the midst of this. And then it should also open up our hearts to those who were in the midst of this and saying, okay, Lord, how can I help? I see a need. Unfortunately, not everyone responds this way. And God is sort of looking at that and saying, okay, how are you responding? Some people are pushing away from God and saying, ignoring God and saying, if you can allow this devastation, I'm not going to believe and trust in you. Again, we go back to that parenting analogy. Sometimes the bad things are allowed to happen. so that a stronger relationship may be built. Because as we truly see what's really important in our lives, I hope and pray that God is the most important thing. And then now we have an opportunity to thank God for the wonderful blessings. That yes, we weren't there. Yes, we do have a house to go to. We do still have running water and electricity. We still have a career. We have a job. All that wasn't wiped out. But when was the last time we thanked God? We have a 3-day weekend. Sometimes we're saying, thank you, Lord, for the 3-day weekend. I don't have to go to work on Monday morning. But maybe on Tuesday morning when we go back to work, we should say, thank you, Lord. I do have a job I can go back to. Now let's sort of tie this into where the sermon was initially going with our gospel reading. Hopefully I had set the stage well enough that sometimes in the midst of conflict, in the midst of things that aren't going well, that through that conflict, that God can use that conflict to build a stronger relationship. That's what Matthew 18 is talking about. We don't like the concept of confronting people. We sometimes would rather do anything else but confront somebody, afraid that the other person may walk away hearing the bad news. But Jesus encourages us to actually confront, but the right way. Just like discipline can get into abuse, so can confrontation go into abuse. Again, if we understand our Old Testament lesson, where Ezekiel is being the watchman, we understand the epistle lesson on how we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. That sets the stage on how we're supposed to lovingly confront somebody. Some of the reasons why we don't like confronting people is we may remember what God even says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. He says, judge not that you may not be judged. That should not give us an excuse. It'd be like saying to the parent, just love your child and spoil them rotten. Hey, that may be kind of fun, but then how do the children grow up? There has to be some sort of discipline. You just can't give the children ice cream every day. Likewise, us as children of God, when we see someone in sin, as it says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. But we have to be careful. We're not doing it for the wrong reasons. We're doing it because we truly love our neighbor. The concept with confrontation is that we're trying to do it for the bettering of the other person. We're trying to show God's love. We're not trying to show on how we are better. Quite the opposite. At the beginning part of our liturgy, did we not confess, I, a poor, miserable sinner? That's what I love about those words. It sets the stage. The concept of confrontation is not to say that I am better and you are worse, but to speak what's on our minds to help build a closer relationship. Besides, when we have to confront somebody, we may have to clarify a little bit more of the situation, and that may solve it. We also may learn that we actually did something wrong and that we were part of it, in which then we also need to confess our own sin. Confrontation is not an excuse to be the quote-unquote biblical busybody. But how can I share God's love and forgiveness? How can a relationship that's being strained now grow back together again? Yes, God can use these interesting opportunities in our lives, whether it be confrontation or a hurricane, to draw us closer to Him. Likewise, the hardening of the human heart may also take place. And in these great conflicts, either personally or great tragedies nationally, our hearts may get hardened and we push away from God. God does not want us to push away from Him, but is continuing to draw us closer to Him And sometimes he's going to have to use things like confrontations to sort of wake us up and saying, guess what, folks? The path that we're down is actually going to lead us away from God and His love. And if that is truly the case, wouldn't God want to steer us back toward Him? Well, sometimes we need that giant wake-up call. And sometimes God can use a hurricane as a giant wake-up call. He also can use other aspects in our lives. So if things aren't going the way that you were expecting them to go, maybe we need to double check. Are we really heading the right way? Is God trying to call us back? Or is there some other reason? Again, I'm not trying to claim I know what was in God's heart and mind. But God's word is very clear. God is not punishing people for their sins. That's what took place on the cross. God does love each and every one of us. More than we love each and every one of us. He wants us in a closer relationship to Him. So obviously, our Lord is saying, come on guys, let's grow together. And sometimes in the midst of national tragedies, we can grow together. God is calling us into that saving relationship with Him every day. I hope and pray that we don't need a hurricane knocking on our door to open our eyes to see the love that comes from God and God alone. But if we do need it, I hope and pray that God would not hesitate to send it, because there are some things that are more important than whether my house is standing, whether I've got a job, or whether I have a place to sleep. The salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, the gift of forgiveness of sins, the eternal life, is above all that we have here on earth. Maybe we do need a time to reset our priorities. Likewise, when confrontation needs to come up in our personal lives, that we don't back away from it, but in a very loving and caring way. We take it one step at a time, following God's love and sharing that love with those around us. Again, I'm not trying to say I know what God had in mind, but we are here to confess our own sins. We are here to grow in that loving relationship. We are here to ask for God's mercy. That's the right path that God wants us on. It draws us closer to Him. So on this day, as we celebrate with the church God's wonderful gifts, indeed He has blessed us. He has also given us opportunities to share these gifts now with those who are in great need. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, through Lutheran World Relief, has set up many agencies and are trying to help with people in the Southeast. If your heart is also so moved that, and I'll have some more information during our announcement times, please see me afterwards. But at this time, we'd like to thank our Lord. He indeed has given us many blessings. And we ask the Lord to always to keep our hearts focused upon Him, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.